Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be multiplied unto you now and forever. Amen. For this morning's text and meditation, I've chosen from the book of Mark in the 10th chapter, reading the first 16 verses. And this is the gospel text in the church calendar for this day. Chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark, and reading the first 16 verses. Words are as follows in the name of the Lord. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the coasts of Judea, by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again, and, as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain, or two, shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband, and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen. God has given us the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament so that we would know his will. And one of them is the Sixth Commandment, which says, Thou shalt not commit adultery. And the meaning of this commandment, as we learn in our catechism, is that we should fear and love God, that we may lead a chaste life and a decent life in word and deed, and each love and honor his spouse. Next to life itself, the most valuable earthly blessing that God gives us is our spouse, a husband and a wife. Marriage was instituted by God. We celebrated a wedding here last night. God instituted, he gives it, and he gives it for a reason, and that's for human race to continue until he comes again, the end of time. And in a Christian marriage, the value of the woman is really brought out. In the Old Testament, the law did not give the wife equal rights. She was a helper to her husband. But in Christianity, in the New Testament, she becomes a follower and an heir of eternal life. She is an heir of eternal life, as Peter tells us. And Apostle Paul also writes to us in the book of Galatians that neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. During the Old Testament time, boys were circumcised, but in the New Testament, both boys and girls are baptized. But the most highest love that God has given to us was the sacrifice that he gave to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, the church was born. This church was born, the New Testament church. And between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, there's a bond of love. We love him because he first loved us. And as husband and wife here on this earth, we represent the same bond. We represent the same bond of the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And as Apostle Paul writes to us in the book of Ephesians, he tells us that it's a mystery. I'd like to read that, and found in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, when it says, verses 31 to 33, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." God has given us joy in marriage. And he tells us to give of ourselves instead of trying to get for ourselves. His son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and gave himself. He died for us on the cross of Calvary. He died for the church that was established. He died for you and for me. And not only is it that we are united together in marriage, but there's also a family that follows. And that too is created by God. Men and women establish a home that is representative of God. We heard Isaac read, "Unless the Lord build a house, those who build it labor in vain." Unless the Lord is there. And we need to remember, those of us that are married, that it's not our marriage, it's not our home, it's not our children, but it's God's marriage, it's God's home, it's God's children, and God's family. We represent God. The Pharisees came to Jesus, verse 2, and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." Now there were, even in the class of Pharisees, we know that there was a difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But there were two schools of thought even amongst the Pharisees. And they differed on divorce. One group said the divorce was only for moral defilement. And the other school of thought was that it was entirely under the power of the husband. It was what he decided, and that went. And they wanted to trap him. They wanted to trap the Lord Jesus. These were some of the powerful, wealthy people who were involved in putting away their wives for any cause. And they wanted to see if he would turn against them and allow divorce. And then they could blame him and say his teaching is carnal and it's not spiritual. And therefore he is not sent from heaven and he's not representative of God. We find this quote as they were quoting from the book of Deuteronomy and the 24th chapter of Deuteronomy, where the words are written in the first four verses. "When a man has taken a wife and marries her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he has found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go out and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. This is what they were quoting to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. But Jesus answers, and he quotes Moses, verse 5 and on. He answers and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they two shall be one flesh, so that they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. He says, because of the hardness of your heart. It was never the intent of God. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. God has made us male and female. God has created us in his image. And the two, male and female, complete the image of God. We find in the book of Genesis and the first chapter in the 26th verse when he says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And of course, this is said before he took Eve out of the rib of Adam. But he created male and female. Both are equally created by God. God's intention was that man would find a mate for himself. That's why we have boys and girls that are born. Statistics show us that it's approximately the same number of men and women who are born into this world. But when big wars come around and the men are killed, the next generation bumper crop is of men to make up for the loss of those that are dead. We read in verses 10, 11, and 12. And in the house, his disciples asked him again in the same of the same manner. And he said, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. This is the words of the Lord. Christ spoke these words. And this is God's plan. God's eternal plan for the human race. Marriage is the foundation and the cornerstone of all society. Two become one. It's not 1, 3, and 2, 3, and 4. And it's not man and man, or woman and woman marrying one another. We know that all these foundational laws and things in our society have been thrown into the wind. And we find laws being changed, and people are in a turmoil, and who knows what the future brings as far as Christians, when we want to stand by the Word of God, if we'll be having to suffer persecution because of it. But we know that much evil comes to the families when these laws or these commands of the Lord Jesus Christ are ignored. And as Christians, we need to put away and shun that which society wants and demands. Jesus says people are not really released from one another, but it is God's will that we are united for all eternity. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And then we continue on, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Christ and the little children. The little children that are a result of marriage. They were very young. They were very young. Some were even infants. They brought them and carried them to him. They were so small that Jesus took them up in his arms and he blessed them. Parents were honoring the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. It was the parents that were bringing the young children to him that he should touch them. There was something in the Lord Jesus Christ that attracted them, something that drew them to him to see his love and his protection. And so it is for us as parents with children. We regard it as our duty to bring our children to the Savior. It's something that God's Word calls us to do. It is our duty to teach our children, teach them the way of God, teach them the Word of God, and teach them of the love of God toward them. To bring our children into the covenant of baptism, to make them members of the church and the local congregation so they begin to love the church here on this earth and the fellowship of that church. When they brought the children to him that he should touch them, his disciples rebuked those that brought them. The very people whose office it was to make Jesus known, now we're rebuking and forbidding them to come. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend of children. And he said, or he was much displeased and said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. God's kingdom. The kingdom of God has been made up of children. Those who are proud, and of course the children means adults and all, for we are children of God. The proud, those who think that they can accomplish everything, self-confident, self-sufficient, they're not in harmony with God. It's not one with God. Jesus took them in his arms and he blesses them. He prays for them. And so we too need to bring our children to Jesus and pray for them, teach them the Word of God. In that way, our homes and we as parents and children can lay the foundation for a stable nation. For where the home goes, where the family goes, so goes the nation. And we can stand up for the truth of the Word of God. And God honors that home, and he honors that family that follows him. Today we've gathered together to take part in the Lord's Supper. Jesus himself tells us in the scriptures of God's in the scripture of God's word, or it's actually Apostle Paul who writes to the Christians in the gospel, in the book of Corinthians, when he says, he gives the rules for divine worship, and he said, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. That do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Not only to take it in his memory and to remember what he had accomplished for us, but also look forward to that time when he is coming again. And truly he is coming, for you show the Lord's death until he comes again. He tells us that it's the body given for us, and it's the blood shed for us. We read in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, I'd like to read that, in verses 11, 12, and 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. We take the Lord's Supper and believe the word, as he says, This is my body which is given for you, and this is my blood that has been shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We look back in our own lives and we see our failures and the sin that so easily besets us. We're not to look at this word as to what has happened, but we need to look at this word as what we face in the future and to stand with that word. And when we see our failures and our shortcomings, we see that we are sinners. But we need to remember that Christ has come to seek and to save those that are failures and those that are sinners. We need to know that Jesus takes us in his arms and he blesses us, even as he put his hands upon them and blessed them. He still is speaking to us today, and he's saying, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For he says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. Our flesh tells us that, well, we gather here together and we eat of the body and blood, and we shall be saved. But when we look at it by the Spirit of God, it says, physical eating is much more than that. It has to have a spiritual connection. We always want to lower religion into a form. But Jesus says God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus instituted the sacraments, and outwardly they are necessary, but they are more than just taking of them. They express our spiritual life, which is by faith. And along with that faith goes repentance and the two-edged sword, which is repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are to believe in the forgiveness of sins for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ through his precious name and atoning blood. We have redemption through his blood, and he forgives us our sins. And that's why we proclaim the gospel, the good news. When we are convicted of our sin, that we can turn our eyes upon Him who loves us and calls us unto Himself. Sometimes we think, I have done so bad things, such terrible things that no one can understand. And it brings us to the end of our way, and we feel like we might as well end it all. There is no hope. But there is hope. And that hope is in the Lord, who came to give us life, who loved us so much that He took our sins upon Himself on the cross of Calvary and gives us victory through His work of redemption. Because we know He suffered and died, but He also rose again from the dead. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where He is interceding for us even today. And He's still saying, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me shall never die. So regardless of what our past is, regardless of what has happened, we still can come with assurance and hope that He receives us unto Himself. And He takes us as little children, and He blesses us. He blesses us by His Spirit. And we can rejoice in that even today as we fellowship together around the altar of grace and take of His body and His blood that has been given for us to give us peace, life, and salvation. In Christ's name, amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the exhortations found in your word and pray your blessing upon each and everyone gathered here, that together we can rejoice in that salvation given to us, full and free, by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within. In Christ's name, amen.